Welcome to Courageous HR, sponsored by Cornerstone On Demand here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Bob Gibbs, the NASA Chief Human Capital Officer and Assistant Administrator for Human Capital. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So we've been doing the series of interviews looking at human resources and something called Courageous HR. And really the point of the show is really to say what's happening in the federal market that's above and beyond the normal, right? Above and beyond the typical. And NASA was one of those agencies that came to mind for several reasons. Number one, I've called it in the past one of the most, you know, popular, most heralded agencies in all of government. And two, you guys always do a really great job around employee engagement. So let's talk a little bit about employee engagement. Let's start right there. You guys have been at the top of the Best Places to Work survey. You guys had the top federal employee viewpoint scores. Talk a little bit about that history and give us some basics.
NASA is a different federal agency in some ways, very unique in our mission and the things we're asked to do. And I think that's where it all starts for engagement. You know, you have to have a mission that matters and that has very meaningful work for the employees that challenges them on a regular basis. And NASA, I think that's kind of our stock in trade. I think following up with that, you have to have sort of leadership that really cares about its employees and ties the employees very effectively to the mission. I think that's another thing that's a little unique about NASA is that willingness for supervisors to be open and transparent and work with employees. And the last sort of part of this answer would be you having a committed and passionate workforce. You know, they have to be here for more than just a job. And I think at NASA, that is our culture. I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this is a lot of work. And this takes effort. And I think it has to grow organically from the agency's mission. Those are sort of two hallmarks of really working on employee engagement that I think are incredibly important.
And I think you bring up a really interesting point. It takes effort. It has to grow organically from the mission. So let's talk a little bit about how you guys have done those efforts behind keeping the employee engagement high. Specifically over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, you guys have kept it high and increased it. How have you done that?
I think you have to have a focused plan. I think for us, what we're really talking about right now is listening to our employees, not just through FEVS, but the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, but through small group discussions and looking at our performance as an agency towards mission. I think you have to kind of triangulate all of the information and kind of say, okay, this is what we're hearing. What's our action plan? I'll tell you right now, we have a pretty strong focus on leadership development, employee development, and communications across the board at NASA.
And that last piece, the communications, what's the first rule of communications? You communicate, and then you communicate again. Maybe talk a little bit about the communications. Let's start there, because with any plan, with any strategy, that's the most important piece. Do people understand it?
I would also argue that maybe some of our communications has to start with listening. You know, really understanding what we're hearing from our employees, not just in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, but what we're hearing writ large, you know, across the agency. And then we develop a very coordinated mission. This is an all-in approach where it's communicated from the top and it's reiterated throughout leadership, and the employees buy in and work very hard on this sort of thing.
What about from the bottom side? You talk a lot about leadership. There's also the employee side. You said you listen to employees. How are they empowered to communicate back up the chain?
The environment and the culture at NASA is that employees don't hesitate to express their point of view pretty much to anyone in leadership or anyone across the agency. And what's really remarkable is there's an honest conversation that goes on. May not always like the answers, but there's an honest conversation about what's really going on within the agency and our missions that help us kind of reinforce that commitment towards engagement.
Now, that's hard, right? Because a lot of times there are other reasons or other, you know, rationales for why things are done. And again, you said you may not always like the answer, but at least the conversation happens. How do you train the leadership? And let's go back up to that part of leadership development to be receptive, to be open to saying, to hearing maybe a employee who says, hey, that's a dumb idea. Well, maybe, and then leadership can respond properly. Hey, you may be right, but that's the path we're going down for now, and we'll make adjustments as needed.
I will tell you, at NASA, we have a focused plan for leadership development at all levels. When people first become supervisors, we have some pretty aggressive cross-the-agency approach for training and helping them understand how to have those sort of hard conversations and how to do it constructively, kind of going forward. We also have different leadership and training programs for folks that are mid-career, as you're evolving as a leader, as a supervisor, as a manager. And additionally, We have a lot of very dedicated training that goes on for senior executives as well. So it's a complete commitment to leadership development across the spectrum and throughout the sort of leadership life cycle.
That's one of the big differences that what I'm hearing when I talk to other chief human capital officers. Like, a lot of agencies don't have that mid-career piece. And a lot of times the person, or, you know, the man or the woman who is really good at their job all of a sudden finds themselves in a leadership role, and they haven't been trained, or they're not quite ready, or they don't quite have those soft skills. Is that the difference you see with NASA? Because you also were at Energy Department, and you know, throughout your federal career, you've been at other places. Is that the biggest difference, is starting earlier?
I would say it's one of the differences, and that certainly contributes. But I'd also tell you that we invest a lot in other tools. We have organizational development folks that work to support leadership and help structure and solve problems at their lowest level. So there is a real commitment by the agency to solve problems at their lowest level and to make sure we're talking about the same sorts of things and having that sort of constructive discussion. I will tell you, one of the principles that Robert Lightfoot, our acting administrator, pushes is sort of, you know, assume positive intent. It sounds kind of, I don't know, soft, squishy, whatever you want to say. But there's so much power in having that conversation and believing that the other person that you're talking to is having an honest conversation for the right reasons. If you kind of put your mindset around that, it's very helpful.
I think that's a great point, because so often people think, well, they're pushing back just to push back, right? They're playing devil's advocate, and or they're causing trouble because they don't want things to change. But I think having that, hey, we're all trying to meet the same good. We may see things from a different perspective, but we're all trying to get to the end goal. That's really important. What's the employee response when that type of message is sent out, you know, across the agency, in terms of making sure we're all starting from a positive and honest conversation?
I think it's remarkable, frankly. Kind of getting back to what we talked about at first, you know, you have demonstrated right from the very top that leadership truly cares about their employees, about what they have to say, and about them as people, and how they contribute to the mission. And that kind of permeates everything that we do. And we pursue a principle called work from anywhere, talking about different tools that support engagement, which says, hey, you know what, if you can do your work from somewhere else, let's talk about that. What tools do you need, and does it make sense? For example, during the latest snow day, when government was shut down, we were working. We have the ability to collaborate across organizational boundaries, share information, share thoughts, share ideas. So we were up and running even though the government was shut down.
That's interesting, because what you're really describing here is telework, and there's several agencies who are changing their telework policy. It sounds like NASA is looking at that from a different perspective and saying, if you can get your work done and you can do it well, you can do, as you said, work from anywhere. Is that also part of the engagement piece? One of the reasons why NASA scores high on best places to work is because you guys take that maybe bit of a different perspective than maybe some other agencies?
I think it certainly contributes, and I would say it's beyond telework, because sometimes you're talking about really working on interdisciplinary teams across organizational and geographic boundaries. So it can be more than just necessarily, hey, I'm going to work from home today. You know, it could be, hey, I'm working at a different center for a different reason and that sorts of things. But yeah, I think it is. I think it does contribute. I don't know, you know, other agencies and their decisions and the things they're facing. I can only speak for NASA, but I'll tell you, I think collaborative tools are incredibly important to innovation and engagement.
And that makes people feel like it's easy to connect. As you said, no matter where I'm at, I can reach Bob Gibbs and say, hey, Bob, I have this challenge, or hey, I have a question. And you, no matter where you're at, can easily respond back. I mean, we all in our newsroom use Slack as an example, and it took us some time to get around it. But whatever tools you have, it gives you that nobody's really that far away. I think that's a big piece of that.
Yeah. I mean, our business is sort of cutting edge of science and technology in most of what we do. So looking at anything like Slack or others that are sort of more pushing the cutting edge for collaboration, and there's lots of tools out there. Again, but it's really the basic principle of being able to share information from one place to another and share sort of communications from one place to another. You know, as the chief human capital officer, I will tell you, being approachable to the workforce and to leadership is incredibly important for what I have to do.
And I think most would agree that the open door policy, it's easy to be said, but it actually has to happen. Bob, on that note, let's take a quick break. We can come back. We can jump into some innovations. My guest is Bob Gibbs, the NASA Chief Human Capital Officer and Assistant Administrator for Human Capital. I'm Jason Miller. You're listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Successful HR leaders are courageous change agents, inspiring crusaders, and innovation drivers. To meet today's challenges of finding and keeping talent, these leaders need modern technology to help them recruit, train, and develop their workforces. Cornerstone On Demand's cloud-based learning and human capital management software provides government agencies with the tools to easily manage their employee data and processes, allowing the HR heroes in your agency to focus on developing engaged and skilled workers. More at cornerstoneondemand.com/HR superhero.
Welcome back. You're listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Bob Gibbs, the NASA Chief Human Capital Officer and Assistant Administrator for Human Capital. Bob, before break, we were talking a little bit about kind of employee engagement, how you guys take a kind of a three-pronged approach, communication, leadership training, and employee training. Let's talk about measuring progress. I mean, it's easy to measure progress with the FEVs, but that's a once-a-year thing. How do you guys have a kind of a continuous measurement of how things are going, how people are engaged at NASA?
As you said, FEVS, and I think OPM has done a really good job refining that tool over time. But at the end of the day, it's still a survey taken one time a year, so it's sort of a signpost. From my perspective, I think you have to sort of triangulate what you're learning from FEVS with other information, you know, with data talking about how is the agency performing at a component level, with talking about how you're doing from a demographics perspective across the workforce, how does everything look and fit together, and then really kind of diving in deep. If you see things, if you hear things that you have concerns about, spending that time to really dive deep and find out what's really going on. I think that's incredibly important, and I think it's just really one of the reasons why NASA is effective with employee engagement.
So when you talk about see or hear things, so that means somebody comes to you and says, hey, Bob, I'm worried about this, or you talk to somebody at Marshall or Johnson Space Center, one of your other chief human capital officers that you work closely with, and they say, hey, we seem to be having this type of issue. Is that how you kind of look at and say, okay, how do we take a deeper dive?
That's certainly one way to do it. I would also argue you can take the data and say, okay, for this group was doing really, really well, but the delta between my highest performing group and my lowest performing group is fairly significant. Why is that? Why is this organization within NASA being successful and this one not? And kind of looking in behind the scenes and finding out what's really going on. That's using data to another level, other than just what was reported in FEVS. Additionally, small group discussions where people are much more comfortable to have those sort of conversations, incredibly important, incredibly important.
I want to go back to the data, but before I do that, when you have those small group discussions, how often do they happen? Are you hosting, if you will, a brown bag weekly, quarterly, monthly? How do you go about those small group discussions?
I will tell you they're sort of ad hoc, but they happen very, very, very frequently. I've been to every center across NASA and had these conversations with employees, with management, with leadership, from the chief human capital officer perspective. But we regularly have discussions, whether it be whatever employee group you could ever possibly imagine, if you want to talk about a technical problem or solution. It's just a regular and collaborative, communicative environment that really supports what NASA does.
Let me talk about data for a second, because it really is all about the data. Everything federal agency does is really based on that data. OPM, as you said, has done a really nice job of providing really specific data around specific areas of the Employee Viewpoint Survey. Are you guys adding data analytic tools? How are you slicing and dicing the data?
I would tell you that it is about the data, but remember how the tool is structured. You have to get engagement up. You have to get participation in the survey up in order to break the data down to work units of greater than 10 employees. So the more participation you get in the survey, the greater fidelity you have in data as you go forward, because you can break it down to lower and lower work levels and really look for problems, issues, concerns, or things that are going really well that should be exported in other places. So I think that's an incredibly important thing. And we spend a lot of time doing it.
I know OPM, through the unlockthetalent.gov site, gives you some tools. Are you guys looking for or have developed your own tools? We did a recent story with NIH, and they developed a tool to really help dig deeper into the FEVs. Are you guys following suit in any way?
We do. We do mine the data very specifically and for different things and tie different parts of the FEVS together, and we do it in that way for leadership, and we make it transparent for the employees as well. So, yeah, we do. We spend some time doing that as well.
Okay, interesting. Now, I know a lot of times the data leads you to decisions, and how are you guys using the data to make decisions? For instance, you talk about you tie things together for the leadership. Do they then make decisions about the areas of engagement that they need to really focus on for 2018, or do they look at other things? For instance, we see that our retirement age around rocket scientists are getting older, so we're going to have to start replacing them, or you know, the retirement is more likely. How do you guys use the data to make decisions?
Speaking specifically about demographics, this is an older workforce. It also is probably the highest educated and most experienced workforce in government. So you really have to kind of have to take a step back away from just the, hey, it's an average age of this, to really say, okay, is that a problem as we go forward? And if it is, what are going to be the plans we're going to take as we go forward in our mission? I think that's kind of one way to look at the data and ask that first threshold question rather than just say, well, it's an old workforce, therefore it's a problem.
When you present the data to the leadership, what kind of conversations are you guys having? Can you just give me a sense, generally speaking, of what kind of questions that maybe, you know, Mr. Lightfoot and others have asked you over the year?
I will tell you the sense of the questions is remarkably in depth. They are fully engaged in all aspects of the people business. You know, it isn't just the first level question. It's a first, second, third, and fourth. And as you would assume with the NASA workforce, their intellectual curiosity is incredible. It's remarkable. So therefore, we have a lot of conversation about the people business and really kind of digging into what we know and what do we need to know and how are we going to go forward in this business to fundamentally take care of our people.
We've talked a lot about data analytics, but technology also plays a big role in this effort. Are you guys using technology in other ways, whether it's for training or whether it's for engagement purposes or whether more broadly it's for just different pieces of the human capital experience to improve, you know, the hiring, retention, you know, payroll, pick your title, right? Pick your topic.
Yeah. I will tell you that we are certainly early adopters of any sort of collaboration tool that's kind of used to drive engagement across fiscal locations. But beyond that, we hosted, you know, the virtual executive summits. I think that's incredibly important. So you get leadership across the agency having an opportunity virtually, not as good as in person, but certainly a good second place to have those sort of conversations. And it's pretty strong savings to the agency. You know, we also look at all the other virtual platforms, Vidyo, Slack, Mobile Access, others. You're looking for that seamless experience that allows folks the opportunity to collaborate regardless of location. So we do a lot of that. Additionally, we've just moved our LMS, our learning management, to the cloud. So, yeah, from a technology perspective, we do quite a bit in that space.
And the virtual leadership summits, the virtual executive summits, can you just talk a little bit more about what those are and how they work, meaning every center director or every CXO gets together, or how does it work?
No, it's an opportunity to collaborate, you know, for each center. There are 10 centers across NASA for every center to get sort of on the same page and hear the same message at the same time and to provide input and be on video. I will tell you that we collaborate on video by VTC on a regular basis across the agency. That's just the norm. It's just the culture that we sort of behave in that, hey, you know what? We can get this done using technology.
All right, very good. Let's take a quick break. We can come back. We can talk about kind of the future of NASA and maybe some recommendations for other agencies based on your success. My guest is Bob Gibbs, the NASA Chief Human Capital Officer and Assistant Administrator for Human Capital. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Successful HR leaders are courageous change agents, inspiring crusaders, and innovation drivers. To meet today's challenges of finding and keeping talent, these leaders need modern technology to help them recruit, train, and develop their workforces. Cornerstone On Demand's cloud-based learning and human capital management software provides government agencies with the tools to easily manage their employee data and processes, allowing the HR heroes in your agency to focus on developing engaged and skilled workers. More at cornerstoneondemand.com/HR superhero.
Welcome back. You're listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Bob Gibbs, NASA's Chief Human Capital Officer and Assistant Administrator for Human Capital. Bob, before break, we were talking about data analytics and technology a little bit. All of that plays into this idea of innovation and the role that innovation can play to not just, you know, push for employee engagement, but really to make employees feel like they're part of a program, a solution, the end result, the outcome. Talk a little bit about NASA is known for its innovation. Talk about how, from your where you sit, how you help promote that idea of innovation.
From my perspective as a Chief Human Capital Officer, I see engagement as sort of the lifeblood for innovation. Innovation is key to NASA's success going forward as an agency and the things we're asked to do from our mission. You know, it's incredibly important to have those conversations, to have those tools that support innovation and to accept where innovation doesn't succeed. I mean, you know, you always hear the, well, failure is not an option, right, sort of tied to NASA. I would tell you that failure is an option when we're not talking about human life and other things, because from that we can learn lessons. Failure should only not be an option if you're not learning from the experience. And I think at NASA, it's a really interesting proposition. It sort of ties to engagement and innovation that we learn from failure. We really dedicate the time and effort to really learn from where things didn't work. You know, again, when you're on the cutting edge of science and technology, not everything works perfectly. You know, that is the business we're in. That is the industry that we're in. And we have to be willing to accept that and learn from it.
It's interesting you talk about failure is acceptable to a certain extent, right? Human life and, you know, obviously multi-billion-dollar programs, that's a different discussion. But the smaller failures are important. And that leads to better engagement with the employees because they're not afraid of, well, what happens if, right? You know, when we talk about federal employees, too many times we hear they're very risk averse. And the reason why is, well, Congress or the IG or auditors come in and start looking and pointing out all the things you did wrong. How is that culture piece that, you know, the way you see it, more acceptable at NASA than maybe some other agencies?
Because I think when you have a failure, the discussion is really about what happened, what can we do better, what have we learned from it, rather than sort of an apportionment of blame exercise that I've seen in other places at other times. It really is, you know, putting things in the right context and moving forward as you can, learning from the experience. I haven't seen that many other places, but I would recommend maybe there's a discussion with other agencies that they could kind of take a step back and look at when they go through something that doesn't work exactly as planned, what can they learn from that exercise rather than trying to figure out who's accountable. Accountability, absolutely important, certainly plays in what we do, but I think there is a principle here that ties to engagement and innovation.
You bring up recommendations before we go down that path, because that's my getaway question. Don't jump in front of me now, Bob. But you came over from Energy Department. How big of a change was this culture for you personally, coming from a different department? Did it take some time for you to get used to the NASA culture?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it certainly takes time. Energy was certainly different, different mission, different people, different requirements. You know, growing up on the DoD, on the Navy side for most of my career, very different from this as well. But I will tell you, I'm having a great experience here at NASA. The people truly are exceptional and welcoming, and it just takes a little while to get your head wrapped around this mission, but it's been exciting.
It's an interesting change because I know the Chico who was before you, Jerry Buchholz, she was a huge cheerleader. She was somebody in the community who was one of those, you know, personalities that people were drawn to. Talk a little bit about what you brought over from Energy. Did you bring over some best practices, some ideas, some concepts that you think, hey, this may work also at NASA?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I'm bringing over here most is we're looking at, you know, going through a transformation process of functional alignment within human capital. Really, it gets down to being more efficient, more effective, more accountable. Is kind of looking at it as a business line and making sure that we're honoring our responsibilities as good stewards of the taxpayer dollar and being as efficient as we possibly can in human capital here at NASA.
There's been a big push in this administration around things like reorganization or relooking at ways you do your job, especially around the back office. Where's NASA going down that path? How from the human capital perspective? Because when I hear from a lot of different agencies, it's always the people. You have to get the people on board. You have to get their buy-in. You have to make sure that they feel included and they're part of the solution, not the solution being done to them. How have you kind of driven that discussion? I know it tags back to the beginning of our conversation with communication, but maybe if you could go into a little more detail about that, those pieces.
I will tell you, again, getting back to Jerry and Lauren doing a great job of stocking the cabinets, as it were. I have remarkably talented folks that are really looking for the next big thing, looking for a better way to do business, continuous improvement sort of thing. We have an established shared service center. Other agencies are exploring this idea. We've been operational for a while in it, and we're actually looking to expand the things that we do at the shared service center to be more efficient in the transactional end of our business so we can invest in the strategic partnering with the missions and with the centers to help make them successful. That's kind of the big direction we're headed right now.
Now, maybe this is a loaded question, so I'll give you the opportunity to give me a vanilla answer, if you will. Would you ever foresee one HR office for all of NASA, or not necessarily because each mission area is different, but one kind of HR office that would handle a certain type of hiring, not necessarily the mission area side, but the other side, maybe the back office side, or consolidation of some sort around HR?
Good question. sort of putting me up against the rock in a hard place
here.
But
that's why I said it's a little loaded. I'll accept the vanilla answer if need be.
No, I don't think we need vanilla here. I think there's actually a pretty good answer. I think for the transactional things, yes, we will look to consolidate in one place at our shared service center. For the things that have to be done on site, supporting the missions of the specific centers and headquarters, they're really different. When you talk about what a research center does and what a space flight center does, and the mission of NASA, they are remarkably different. You know, you can imagine the difference between hiring a heliophysicist and an astronaut. They kind of get very different. So, no, I don't see where we would be able to collapse everything into one singular place because of the diversity of mission within the agency.
At the same time, you could collapse tools. You mentioned the learning management system took it to the cloud. Hopefully, you don't have 13 of them in the cloud. You just have the one in the cloud or two, maybe. But hopefully, that's maybe some of the tools that everybody can use to hire or to train people. That's part of the efficiencies you can try to achieve.
Yeah, we just have the one in the cloud, and we do look to having singular agency-wide systems. Again, the backbone, having a shared backbone, absolutely. So for all of the backroom, traditionally transactional things, absolutely. You have to make the efficiency argument, and I think a lot of that can be done in one place. However, again, there's some very specialized needs that each of the centers have that we have to make sure that we're able to accomplish. Because it makes it, the complexity here is that it isn't just efficiency, it's efficiency and effectiveness. Got to remain effective in our job.
Bob, this has been a fascinating conversation. I very much enjoyed it. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. Before I let you go, you brought up some recommendations sometimes you give to other agencies. When you go to the Chico Council or when you speak at events, what are some of the recommendations you give to other agencies, to even industry, about the engagement piece and how to, well, number one, achieve engagement, but two, keep it going and continue to make progress?
I will tell you, talking about human capital writ large is sort of an often asked question. I've spent a lot of time working with other agencies. And I would say from a human capital perspective, the first thing you really have to know is know your business inside and out, top to bottom. Know your costs, know what your drivers are, know what your performance criteria, key performance indicators are, all the way through your business. Often when I have a discussion with agencies as they're going forward, through some measure of transformation, this is a step they have to take back and make sure they really understand where they're headed and why and kind of what things go on. From an engagement perspective, it has to grow organically. It has to grow from your mission within your agency. There is certainly no magic potion that I can give you that worked at NASA that would work at another agency. I can tell you the principles we followed and the things we did. But it has to grow organically to your mission and your people and your requirements. And the last thing I would say, it's work. It's there's no way around this. It requires a lot of work and complete commitment from everyone in the agency to make this really, really successful.
And obviously it's something that NASA has done. So congratulations on keeping it going. And I'm sure we will have plenty to talk about in the future. So I'd like to first thank my guest, Bob Gibbs, NASA's Chief Human Capital Officer and Assistant Administrator for Human Capital. Bob, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been great, Jason. Great talk.
You've been listening to Courageous HR on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Thank you for listening to Courageous HR, sponsored by Cornerstone On Demand here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Project Horse would like to thank all of our service members by inviting them and their families to our equine facility for our Military Appreciation Day on May 19th during a Loudoun County Farm Tour. If you have served or currently serving, bring the family out for a great time and free giveaways. Meet Reese's, our special equine co-founder, and enjoy fun events for everyone. No tickets needed. For more information, go to our website at www.projecthorse.org. That's www.projecthorse.org.
Tune in each weekday morning at 6. Tom Temin brings you the latest agency news from across the government, reports on congressional action, and developments affecting your pay and benefits. Hear interviews with people making, analyzing, and helping you understand the news. Start off your weekday informed and stimulated. It's The Federal Drive with Tom Temin, weekday mornings at 6 here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com. Find out what happened while you were sleeping. Get Federal News Radio's daily headlines. Go to federalnewsradio.com, search alerts. WFED Washington, WTOP FM HD2 Washington, WTLP FM HD2 Braddock Heights, Frederick, federalnewsradio.com and 15. 15-